Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
School's been back for a few weeks now, and in parenting we're looking at friendships. Some kids seem to be surrounded by mates, a magnet for them, while others struggle to make friends, particularly if they're at a new school. Life Education Trust educator Ingrid Kemp says teachers, parents and caregivers are important to help children navigate classroom and playground dynamics. Morena, Ingrid, thank you.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, thanks. So the beginning of the school year can be daunting for some kids, particularly if it's a transition to a new class or a new school.
Absolutely it can, yeah, but there's lots of things that we can do to help navigate this to be a successful journey for them. Teachers are well equipped with actually having lots of social relationship activities in those first few weeks to help, and they often do a lot of that sort of thing. But also we can help out at home as parents as well. We could be asking the right kinds of questions instead of asking what I call the nervous questions. And the nervous questions are things like, how was your day? Was it okay? Did you have somebody to play with today? All of these sorts of questions, they start to ignite in a child a little bit of insecurity or a little bit of anxiety, going, oh, so I actually have to have somebody to play with every day. So I think asking the right questions like, what was the best part about your day today? Oh, did somebody play with you with that? Oh, did you do it by yourself? That's fantastic. Just leading them into the right kinds of questions can really help them feel really secure in who they are.
Does that, and also anxiety starts to interfere or to make you avoid certain situations. So what the one thing you don't want is an anxiousness, if at all possible.
No, definitely not. You want to foster a sense of security. So one of those things that you can do is talking with your child and making sure that they understand it's okay to have big feelings and big emotions. And instead of knocking them down, like saying, oh, don't be so silly, or oh, you don't need to feel like that, they need to feel heard. So as a parent or a caregiver or a grandparent, anybody can say, I can see you're upset by that, or I can see you're a little bit frustrated with something. Would you like to tell me why? And actually sort of getting down to their level and saying, what's made you feel this way? It's okay to feel this way, and what could we do about it? And one of the biggest things for any of the big feelings we might be feeling is breathing. It's super simple, and teaching our children to breathe, they do it in schools, we can do it at home. Let's take some big, long, slow, deep breaths and calm down, and then we can talk about why we might have felt that way. So these are some great little tips and tools for helping children navigate regulating their emotions.
What if they do say, I haven't got any friends?
Oh, good question. So we could be saying to them, oh, what type of thing do you look for in a friend? And you could be saying, what kind of things do you like to do with a friend? And then you could sort of say to them, oh, so you actually like, for instance, you know, climbing the trees or playing in the sand pits. And maybe if you went over and started to do those things, you might see that there are people who like to do those as well, and you might have things in common. So that could be something really interesting.
So to look for commonality, rather than just sit there surrounded by people going, why am I not like them? And there's always, you know, there's always the queen bees and the big kids and the big personalities who look like they run the world, even at that age. You're looking for the right person or the right friend or friends for you. And activities is one way to start with it.
Absolutely. And then also talking to your children about, oh, what kind of friend should we be? It's doing that whole reflective thing of what type of friends do I want? So what type of friend do I need to be in order to attract that type of friend. And one of the things that we do in LifeEd is we talk about planting a seed. And so when you plant a seed, what does it need to nurture? It needs some water, it needs the sunshine. Eventually it'll get a shoot, but it still needs watering and it still needs sunshine. It'll get a bud and then a flower, but the whole way through it needed nurturing. And our friendships are the same. So what do we need to do in order to nurture our friends? Because we don't make instant friends. They need to be built and grown and nurtured. So what kind of things? Is it sharing? Is it being kind, using nice words, including others? All of those sorts of things we can talk to our children about too.
You're giving them some strategies and saying, yes, you might want to play with this toy or have this book, but if you are prepared to share, that's going to be a way that someone, it's going to be something that someone might welcome, right? Again, you don't want to make it all about making a friend.
Yeah,
but it could
absolutely.
Be, if you're happy to share that book, that's going to make someone else feel good, and
absolutely.
That will make you feel good. And then that actually becomes a technique for the greater goal.
Yeah, and as they become a little bit older, so like if we're talking about having slightly older kids from about 8 upwards, we can start to really talk about that word integrity and choosing to do the right thing. And you can sort of suggest to them that maybe integrity sits on a line and it's choosing to do the right thing. So if we show and display in our personality doing the right thing, then we're operating above the line. And people notice that. But if we choose to sort of like drop a bit of integrity, maybe talk about somebody behind their back or exclude somebody, we've dropped our standard to be below the line. And I often talk to students about if somebody is, you know, a bit mean or a bit horrible to you, if you turn around and you do the same back, you've lowered your standard and you've become just like them.
It's a big word to use at eight, integrity. It's an interesting one. It's a concept you certainly want someone to develop as part of their character. But I'm interested in how you convey that, especially to a kid who is perhaps around 8. But I like the idea of the line and the
yeah.
line being, you know, where we're being the kind of person we really want to be and
yeah.
the line where we're perhaps not being, you know, the kind of person we want to be. I like that idea. And then you could
yeah.
use the line as saying, this is kind of what people notice. Again, you may not say this overtly to them, but this is what people notice and this is what attracts people.
That's exactly what we say. We say you've got to think about what kind of person you want to be. And I'll often say to a big class of students, imagine if you all got given a piece of paper today and everyone in the class described you. I wonder how they would describe you. And so it's encouraging them to think about their behaviour and their actions and their words. And if we want to be the best version of ourselves, which is the goal, and making great decisions, then we've got to be reflective and thinking about, oh, I want to be known as being a kind and courteous person, so I need to show that to other people. So it's about reputation.
Yeah, not always what kids want for some reason, is it? Some of them
no,
are little power-hungry little so-and-sos.
So, yeah, but
that's where,
if
again...
If you bring in role models that
yes.
they think of, like we often bring in, you know, like, again, another thing that students sometimes do is, I can't do it, it's too hard. So you'll bring in role models that they are aware of, like Michael Jordan, you know, he didn't quit when he got kicked off his high school basketball team. He just said, I'm just not good enough yet. And he worked really hard. He built resilience, because this is also what we want to bring in these friendships at school, is building resilience. And instead of parents hopping in or teachers hopping in and solving problems all the time, we want to equip the kids with the right skills in order to start practicing solving problems themselves, because it builds resilience each time.
Yeah. And look, there are kids. There are kids who are bullies. Or there are kids who sometimes you wouldn't necessarily call them bullies, but they've just decided they're going to dump you, right? And
yep.
in that case, you're talking about resilience, but you're also talking about reframing what's happened so that it's about their actions and not who you are.
Absolutely. It's very important, even from a young age, that these children start to actually think about the fact that I'm okay and I'm enough. And if somebody is mean and horrible to us and they walk away from us, I still have to remind myself that I'm okay and I'm loved and I'm enough. and that there is so much greatness in my life, because that positiveness is going to breed more positiveness. And that's something else that's really important, because let's face it, we are going to have the hard times. There are going to be people who will be mean to us, but we need to be able to rise above that and go, but you know what? I've got this and I'm okay.
It's also interesting, isn't it, picking your friends well, and this can come down to personality and interests and confidence and everything else. And again, the desire to be part of the cool group. Actually, for a young child who's for whom this is not easy, they might be looking around for the other kid, actually, who's eating lunch on their own or whatever. And so not to be almost strategic in building your friendships and alliances.
Yeah, and it's really hard. And when you're dealing with you know, young students who haven't, their brains are still developing, or even worse is the teenagers who are lacking the logic and reasoning because of where their frontal lobe is at, often these decisions can be quite hard. And that's where conversations at home, you know, it's really important to have conversations, or when you're watching a movie with your children, talk about what you see, what type of words people use, how they treat other people, even the looks. You know, even a subtle look can have a huge impact on a person. So it's constantly picking up on these and having these endless conversations with your whānau, because I think it's really important.
It can be brutal at that adolescent, early high school age, intermediate and early high school age. And we can't take some of the human behaviour out of the humans. Hopefully people live and learn over the course of their lives, but it can be a really brutal time. And how do you talk to young people about the rejection that can happen sometimes? A group rejects them, or an individual rejects them, or moves on and has got a new best friend. How can that be done healthily in, you know, someone with all that potency of puberty and everything else going on?
Sure, it's a good question. There's so much to unpack there. First of all, we can't control other people, and that's really important for them to understand. We can influence, we can suggest, we can be upstanders, but we ultimately can't control another person. And they need to have that understanding first, and then they need to work on their well-being, particularly at that age, because one unkind sentence can have a massive impact on them for many years to come. So they need to have really good, healthy self-esteem. And one of the ways that we try and work with students is to get them to have positive affirmations every morning and learn to be grateful every night, because it resets the brain. And what we focus on the most, we're going to get more of. So if we're focusing on, I'm okay, I'm enough, I'm beautiful, I'm kind, then your brain will filter like a radio station and look for that same frequency, more ways to tell you that you are enough and you are okay and you've got this. But if we focus on the negative, then our brain is looking for more reasons to tell us no one likes us, no one wants to be my friend. So it's important to reset our mindset and have that healthy mindset and have that healthy self-esteem, because that actually leads into us having a healthy mindset leads into us being strong enough to stand up to things like peer pressure. But if we don't feel great about ourselves, we're more likely to fall into the peer pressure.
We were talking earlier about how to ask younger children about their day. You're trying to get intel, right? You're trying to get a sense of what's going on.
Yeah.
But if it's these older kids, many of whom may be becoming monosyllabic anyway, or may potentially blow a top at the first thing you say to them each day. Let them feed first. I know that's good advice. Let them feed first. But then what are some of the open questions that you can ask, and then perhaps just leave with them, hoping an answer comes back at some point?
Yeah, you could ask things like, what was interesting about your day? Does anything stand out from your day? Did you do something different that you've never done before? What's one thing you've learnt? You want to avoid those sort of closed off, how was your day? Yeah, good. Anything that's going to create a sentence in the first place is going to be a really good idea. But also be really careful that you're not asking questions around, so were those people nice to you today? If there had been a friendship issue, because that's just going to feed it. And then that person will look for even the littlest smidgen of things to say and report back to parents, oh, you know, no, they were unkind to me today here. Everybody can be unkind with certain things at times. but we don't want to focus on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and often with those teens, it's waiting, isn't it? You're not necessarily going to get your answer right now or even today, but it's just leaving a door open for them to talk when they want to.
Absolutely. Look, if it's teenagers, I would say ask the questions while you're doing the dishes with them. Ask the questions while you're in the car, especially with boys. They cannot hike it back off to their rooms. There's lots of little tricks with teenagers, yeah.
Side on actually seems to be the thing. Away from eye contact, away from face-to-face confrontation. There's something safe about being side by side. Yeah, or in the back seat.
And one of the things we've learnt too, we have this concept. It was by Dan Segal called flipping your lid. And when a child or a teenager in particular flips their lid, they've basically dysregulated themselves. Their frontal cortex, logical brain, isn't working, but their big emotions start ruling. And if you see your child or teenager like that, the worst thing to do is to come in and try and offer advice at that time, because they're not receptive to listening to it. They need to calm down, and then they can have a much, much better conversation with you.
Well, if you flip your own lid, take your own advice too.
Correct.
Thank you, Ingrid Kemp.
Calm down.
Life Education Trust Educator.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.